Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
I'll be surprised if Otto Porter's here when this team is actually good. That's a stopgap thing. It's a bridge player. Not bridge like my grandparents.
Right, I understand that.
I'm 84 and I'm playing bridge. Whatever you need cannot be more important than playing bridge.
My Bobby plays bridge.
My parents won't let me play hockey, but my nana's teaching me bridge.
I never understood it. Seems confusing.
No interest.
Yeah.
I'll play hanging out the not interested sign on any card game.
I'll play poker.
I'll just watch rounders.
I'm hungry. Mr. Son of a Beach. Let's play some cards.
No card game.
I'd go to a card game just to observe.
It's a cool ecosystem.
Danny's college card game.
Yes, I would feel comfortable there. I spent a lot of time in places like that. They just didn't have cards going on. I was in some wrong places in my life.
Empty your pockets. All of you. Come on.
Very bad, boys. Very bad.
This is a low-level game, guys. The only thing you need to get around here is practice.
The upside was money. The downside was drug dealers and card sharks pulling pistols.
Yes.
Hey, yo, big man, back up.
I don't know about cars, but I think these 4-5s be the full house. Hey, yo, banker, cash me out, yo.
Felt like not where I was supposed to be as I was pursuing my broadcast degree.
I'll tell you something else. I like that ring, too.
Isn't that nice?
Boy, you got me confused when a man repeats himself.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Wear it in health. Oh, no doubt. This hour on The Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. Well done, Chris Tannehill. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Mac is out, a little under the weather. Nick Szepkowski is in.
You're stuck with me. One more hour. You're being stuck with me.
This is great.
Otto Porter was what the conversation started around with that. If we're casting the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago a year from today, where does he rank? If you're ranking the Bulls in their possibility to be an All-Star, I know the percentages are kind of low on pretty much everyone, but if you're ranking them in order, where does he fall in line? Behind Lauri Markkanen.
And behind Zach Levine.
Behind Zach Levine. And then is it him?
Yeah.
I think he's third?
Yeah. Well,
or you take the whoever they end up taking in the first or second or third overall in the draft.
To be an actual straight-up all-star?
It's hard to expect for a rookie.
It's really hard, especially since they've got the Rising Stars game. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I could see Wendell Carter playing in the Rising Stars game as a second-year player if he's healthy. I could see the Bulls rookie playing in that game. If it's Zion, I could see him in the dunk contest. I could see Zach LaVine in the dunk contest. The three-point contest, maybe Otto Porter. Like if Otto Porter has a 40% from three first half next year, I think he'd have a shot to be a hometown representative in the three-point contest. But no, I don't think the Bulls are going to have a legitimate all-star next year. He's third on the list, though, which is, you know,
yeah, it's marketing, but you don't expect it for marketing next year. And then I think it's a significant gap. You're not having those conversations about Zach LaVine yet. You kind of did at the start of the year of, wow, this guy's averaging 30 points. He's off to a heck of a run, and that's just continued to drop and drop and
drop. It was 3 weeks.
Yeah,
like he had a great 3-week start to the season. He played amazing, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't even that he really remembered that he was Zach LaVine. It was just he had no help. You know, he's not that type of player.
Like
he's got to play off the ball more. He was dominating the ball. Like that was just he was in a completely unsustainable position early on. But who knows? Maybe he takes another leap. He's still young.
Yeah.
You know, he's
he had a couple of leg injuries, but seems like he's getting close, if not at 100%, at least in terms of what he looked like before as a player.
I agree. The Bulls are going to be they'll be the host of the All-Star game, and they will be, for the most part, an afterthought All-Star weekend. It will be that will be the balancing act that we will be dealing with 1 week from today, but it's okay.
1 year from today, but yeah.
What did I say?
1 week.
Definitely not
one week from today. Yeah.
One
center of the NBA universe will be Chicago, Illinois.
No, I think we got Bulls Celtics this Saturday, so that's something.
Yeah.
Not the center of the NBA universe.
Yeah, it's you have one team that's set up for greatness, it seems like, for the next few years, and one that's working and hoping to get there again and again and again.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. But, hey, don't worry. The Bulls will get the sixth pick in the draft, and everything will be fine.
They'll knock that sixth pick out of the park, though.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure it'll be a high floor, low ceiling player from a high major program, and that will be the pick. But you know, it's a weird time for the Cubs and Cubs fans, because there have been a lot of off field distractions. There hasn't been the marquee signings. There's the disrespect, if you want to call it that, of the projections. There's the acknowledgement that the division's gotten better, and I sit here again, and I know a lot of people hate me for this. You're like, yeah, they're probably going to win the division. Like, I still consider the Cubs the favorite to win the division. Vegas considers them the favorite to win the division. And I still think it's in play that the Cubs have a special season. And they're, what, the fifth favorites on the board to win the World Series?
Yeah.
So,
and their numbers always decreased a bit because a lot of people get in on Chicago teams, or at least on the Cubs, at least on that. But in terms of how they set out, it's... Yes, they may be done, and Joe Maddon spoke on it yesterday, of they're going to be done in terms of the big league roster. The guys that are picked for the 25-man roster are the guys that are in camp right now, and it's not going to be another addition, whether it's a small bullpen arm or anything like that. It's not going to be a big addition that's brought in. Not going to be an addition of any sorts, he believes, that's going to be brought in terms of opening day construction. I am curious with this, and not being a player free agent-wise, I am curious as this year goes on, and hopefully the Cubs get off to a good start and they're in playoff contention when we approach the trade deadline, when we approach the middle of July and those discussions start heating up post All-Star break. I do wonder, okay, are they willing to open up the pocketbook a bit more then, depending if it's, oh, do they need to go add another arm? Is there a Cole Hamels that's going to be available to, in theory, save the pitching staff again? Are they going to be able to pull the trigger and do that?
Theo always operates with wiggle room heading into a season within the budget. You know, that's like one of his stated goals, so that if they are in contention, they can be players at the trade deadline to fill an injury, fill a hole, get a bullpen piece, whatever the case may be. So I have to assume that there is $6 million, $10 million of financial flexibility to add a half contract or something like that over the course of the season. And then it might just be a factor of bad timing. I mean, Hamels is off the books after this year. Zobrist is off the books after this year.
Yeah, is that $35 million combined between the two?
Yeah, right there. And so maybe then they say, okay, it ended up being because they signed Darvish and Chatwood, and they can't count on either of them this year. So they had to back it up with Hamels. And if Darvish had an awesome year last year and Chatwood had an awesome year, they would have never needed to trade for Hamels, and then they would not have needed to pick up the $20 million, and then that $20 million could have gone towards Bryce Harper this year, right? Like, this clearly wasn't the plan.
Oh, hell no. You don't sign those deals to those players and expect the outcome to have that you did. Disastrous years for both of them.
But they – and so even as critical as I am and how empty it feels – I actually do think they made the right choice. Like, for this year, Cole Hamels is more valuable for this Cubs team than another marquee bat would be, because, man, we're really close of like Mike Montgomery being in the rotation if it went poorly, if they didn't bring in Cole Hamels, right? Like,
right.
The rotation is deep, but it's old.
Right.
They needed more names.
Yeah, that's what I look at with this rotation. It's, I don't know, there's always the questions get asked in spring training, and there's you, Darvish, earlier this spring of, is this have the potential to be as good a staff as you've ever been around? And it's like, yeah, it has the potential, but are you counting on John Lester? How many years have we spoke of John Lester of, all right, he's recrafting his work and figuring out how to pitch a different way because the velocity continues to drop. It's like, how far can that velocity drop, and how much can he rework things and reach each things and still be a front of the line type type starter? You look at Jose Quintana when he was dealt for. Yeah, Jose Quintana has been a good pitcher for the Cubs. You can't tell me that the expectation for Jose Quintana was to be this, though. That was not what the Cubs thought that they were getting. based solely on what they gave up in order to get him, I get the years of control. You thought you're getting more from what Quintana has given you a year and a half in a Cubs uniform.
Well, yeah, he's been worse on a better team in the NL instead of the AL. So they thought they were getting at least the White Sox version of Quintana and probably slightly better just going from the AL to the NL and pitching in bigger games that meant more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been a disappointment.
Quintana. You're welcome.
Thank you, Coop. They've got a bunch of names and a bunch of question marks.
Yeah.
Lester and Hamels are 35. Quintana's been a disappointment. Hendricks, I think, is awesome and has stretches of dominance. But, you know, if a little thing is off with him, since his stuff isn't overwhelming, it can be a problem. And then there's Darvish, who has to be better than last year. But, you know, how much are we really counting on you, Darvish?
I think you get into trouble when you start to think of, okay, this guy missed almost the entire season due to injury, and he's going to bounce back and return to form. It's not to say that he can't get there as the year proceeds, but I think you're setting yourself up if you're relying on that at least to be something going into 2019.
Cubs fans want to react to Tom Ricketts saying that they're out of money, at least from a baseball perspective. Andy and Glenn Ellen, you're on the score. Thanks for calling, Andy.
Hey, guys. I'm happy with the Cubs spending. I mean, they built a new complex down in Arizona. They've done a great job of refurbishing the ballpark. They're almost done. They built a complex in the Dominican Republic. And if you look at our prospects, we have some coming from there. And we got the third highest payroll. So I don't think money solves all the problems, but I think he's put it in the right areas. And you guys talked about the money coming off the books next year. There's even more money coming up. Morrow's got only 1 year guaranteed on his contract of the two left, and that's this year. His comes off the books. Strobe's comes off the books. Kunstler's $5 million comes off the books. We should have $50 million to go out and get us more pitching.
Kinsler.
Yeah. We should have about $50 million because what we're going to need is a number one.
It's an all-timer.
As a pitcher, a number one. And it's going to take, you know, $35, $40 million a year to get a number one. I don't think we need any players in the field right now.
Well, I mean, the offense broke last year, so they could use an upgrade at hitting, right? I mean, who are you so confident with other than Bryant that's going to bounce back, who was a disappointment offensively last year?
I think the two biggest things have to happen offensively is Bryant's got to come back, and then Contreras, they need to give him days off. He played too much, and it grinds catchers down, especially at the end of the year.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you on Contreras. I expect some sort of offensive bounce back.
Yeah, I expect a bounce back, but it's not like, I mean, he got bad. It's like when the White Sox series ended, was that in early May, mid-May, that the two teams played at Wrigley anyway for their three-game weekend series? It's like he had a monstrous weekend against the Sox. Power numbers were nowhere to be found from that weekend forward. Like, going, boy, three home run, four home runs the rest of the way. Like, he was a shell of himself. It's like, that seems like it was a little early for the fatigue to be the issue.
I agree completely. And Texter says complexes should have been in the future after this window. No way. They built the Sloan Park complex so that they could do that first before Wrigley, so that Bryant and Baez and those guys could be in that complex in spring training and in winter ball and all that stuff. So,
right.
So they renovated for their prospects before the big leaguers. And you got to remember, so we're fans and, you know, we live in the moment and care about this season and all that. The Ricketts family wants to own the Cubs for the next three, four, or five generations of Ricketts's. You know, so they're like, yeah, this is the team that ended the drought, but then they want to get Wrigley in order so that they can turn it into a venue that isn't just 81 baseball games a year plus the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which they've done with the concert series and then the park at Wrigley as a revenue generator. And now Marquee Network with Cubs TV. So the Ricketts are in this for the long haul. So they were always going to use the success of this current team to fund everything. The hotel, the
entire neighborhood, and how much that's changed within a block radius of the park alone.
It's just, it's not reasonable to ask businessmen who are in the they're in this to make money. Like, right, it's not reasonable to ask them to operate at a loss.
Right,
you wouldn't do that in your business. It's not reasonable to ask them to do it in theirs.
Yeah, but would they be operating at a loss? I guess from the baseball side of the money available, it's hard for me to imagine that. Okay, an extra 25-ish million dollars is. I feel like they're. I don't know. I guess if I don't have the financials in front of me, I shouldn't comment on that and think that way, but it's hard for me to think that long-term-wise, if you are to add the free agent to put you over the top and you win another division and you win another World Series because of it, you're going to finish so far ahead. Again, it's easy for me to risk other people's money, but you can't help but I have that thought cross through my mind.
Yeah, you know, but and people say that, like, oh, you guys sure have no problem spending other people's money. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how it works.
Right.
Like, we're not billionaires. They are. They own the team. And I'm not saying that they have to operate at a loss, but I do think that at times it's prudent to acknowledge that, hey, the value of the Cubs is tripled since they bought the team.
In a decade. Not so, even a decade.
So,
like, it's...
So they're fine.
Soared.
So they're okay. So if in this unprecedented window in the history of the Cubs organization, pay the luxury tax, go out and add another bat to fix your broken offense, I don't think that that's an unreasonable ask from Cubs fans. And it sucks that Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish are the reasons that they're not in on a generational free agent talent who wants to play here with his friend who named his dog after the damn stadium, mm-hmm. who's in the prime of his career, and, oh yeah, by the way, happens to be the most marketable player in the sport.
Right.
Sucks.
Like you sign him and the jersey sales and the interest and the, not that the Cubs are ever lacking for TV time on the national networks and MLB network and any of that, but that's not, it's only growing. If you add that, and the attention's only growing, and the money coming in is only growing as well.
Derek's in his car, and he's on the score. Thanks for calling, Derek.
Good to be here. My question was, do we regret not going after Machado last year? I know he was a rental. We'd have to give up Hap, maybe Almora, maybe I forget the third guy, but do we regret this?
I mean, listen, we were the guys that were out there
talking to the right crew
in the sign. So yeah, we were all for it. If they would have traded Schwarber and Almora,
mm-hmm.
right, as a foundation for a Machado trade, and then not re-signed him, they'd be facing a lot of criticism right now of not having Schwarber, Almora, or Manny Machado. Now you would have had more money to spend. Because you would not be spending the money on Schwarber and Almora, but those guys are not breaking the bank even with their arbitration raises.
Yeah.
So do they regret it? Let's put it this way. I think it would have fixed their offense last year. Like I think the Cubs would have won the division. Machado would have been worth an extra game.
I feel safe in saying that, yes.
And then,
he was literally on the last day of the season, actually the day of the playoff game, game 163. I have a feeling that Manny Machado's presence would have won you an extra game in that last 2 months.
So then you would have been in the division series instead of the game 163 and then the wild card game, and then maybe that alters how the end of last season goes if Manny Machado's on your roster. But you can't have it back.
Right.
So do I wish that they would have done it? Yeah, but that's even easier than spending Tom Ricketts' money.
Right. Oh, yeah, it didn't work out the way you wanted to. I'd love to go back in time and change that. Unfortunately, you can't. And yeah, I think that I don't think they like have a huge regret over it, though, because then if you're, okay, if you free up, say, the Schwarber and Almora money that they're owed going into this year, and yeah, they're getting significant raises based off of what they were earning, it's still not like that's enough to land you in the sweepstakes for the megastars.
No.
Like, that's not going to make up that differential, or long-term-wise. That's not freeing up that much money.
Chris Bryant's in the news again, and we might have a little beef with him on the show. We'll get into it coming up. It's Mac and Parkins on the score.
Who would want to play in St. Louis? So boring.
Yeah.
So boring. So I always boring. Get asked, like, where you like to play, where you not like to play, and, ooh, St. Louis is on the place I don't like to play.
Yeah. It is. Chris Bryant with Ryan Dempster at Cubs convention said, oh, it's so boring. St. Louis is so boring. He told the truth. And then Yadier Molina got his whatever in a bunch. And here we are.
I see no factual lies. I detect no lies on any of this. Like, what did he say that was inaccurate? St. Louis, incredibly boring? Yes, St. Louis is incredibly boring. It's... Who goes on St. Louis? Like Joakim Noah went instead of Cleveland. You know people that go to St. Louis for vacation?
I don't
vacation in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was funny. And then Yadier Molina said that's what losers say. And he got all defensive, which, all right, fine. You know, if you want to get defensive, cool. And then because it's evidently the story that won't die, Chris Bryant was asked about it as players reported for full squad workouts.
It's good for the rivalry. It'll be interesting games, you know, but I think it's taken totally out of context. I think we all know that it was a comedy show with Ryan Dempster, you know, at a Cubs convention trying to get the fans excited for the season, and I think it certainly did do that. I've done a good job on the field to kind of earn the respect of the players around the league. You know, I do things the right way. I treat people the right way. I treat fans the right way. And at the end of the day, you know, I know who I am as a person. It kind of just exploded. There wasn't really anything going on. There's Cubs convention. They had their you know, fan fest too at the same time, so it's kind of like a perfect storm for, you know, media attention and fan attention, stuff like that. And but yeah, I got a little chuckle out of his comment.
So that's Chris Bryant not walking it back, but putting all the qualifiers on it, because Chris Bryant's not going to double down. I wish he would just double down.
I wish he'd go heel. Like, I wish he would go complete heel and just and completely double down on it. Like, not taken out of context. Well, you kind of said that the city's boring and no one's arguing with you that you're right about that. But I don't think it's taken out of context. It might be done at the Ryan Dempster comedy show on Friday night at Cubs convention. But I think it's pretty clear what you said.
Well, so do we have to have a little beef with Chris Bryant walking it back? Like, do we want him to go hard? Want him to go harder.
It'd be good for the rivalry. He said it himself. And it would be great for the rivalry if he doubled down. Chris Bryant laid it all out there and told you what he really thought of St. Louis. Yeah, I don't leave my hotel room because the hotel room's more exciting than anything that's going on in this downtown.
Yeah,
like, the Arch is the most overrated landmark in the United States of America. You ever been up in it? Those little pods, they feel like they're going to fall down and end your life.
Yeah, I don't want to be inundated with people in jorts asking me where I went to high school. You know what I mean? Cool, you're bragging about toasted ravioli and pizza with cheese and sauce that is terrible and it tastes worse than matzah. I'm with you. Like, he could unveil all sorts of pot shots at St. Louis. They would be punching down.
Sure.
Right, and so he's probably thinks that he's bigger than that.
Yeah, he probably does. But part of me, like, it would be fun for Chris Bryant to turn into like an AJ Pierzynski type of just loving and embracing being hated, because it'd be so out of character for
Bryant.
That's
the thing. It would feel fake.
Awesome though. Like, if he just decided to be like, all right, it's like when Hulk Hogan or Hollywood Hogan at the time went to the NWO and went to the dark side. Like, that was such a shift of, oh my God, he's the heel for a change. It'd be awesome. It'd be so different to see Chris Bryant, the heel across Major League Baseball.
It would, but you guys talk to him every other week on the old show. What percent chance would you give of Chris Bryant turning heel and being compared to Hulk Hogan?
Less than none.
Less than none. Right?
Yeah, he was a guy that very excitedly spoke on, which was, I think it was in Cincinnati. He spoke about the
ice cream sundae.
The ice cream sundae at the team hotel in Cincinnati. It's the best food. I mean, it's the most excited he got about anything was talking about the dessert that they have at the Cincinnati team hotel.
Yeah,
and that he reorders one every day, every night that they're in Cincinnati.
Good for him. Simple man, simple pleasures. Plays baseball.
I just wish he would have taken the opportunity to be like, yeah, and the ravioli that's toasted or whatever the heck it is in St. Louis, meh, it's no damn good.
Yeah, those cheaters.
Although he's wrong. I do like toasted ravioli.
Toasted ravioli is ridiculously good, but they have it at Olive Garden.
Sure.
Like, it's a weird culinary brag for an entire city to be like, we don't have the best Italian food. We have the best
toasted ravioli and poorly sauced pizza.
Correct. Like, correct. Yes. It's a weird brag for a city to claim. But it was almost like Chris Bryant stepped into a funny line and he was so not accustomed to doing it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, people are reacting to a joke that I told.
Can't believe this took off.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. He's like, oh my God, I've never said anything this interesting before. It's had this long of staying power.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Exactly. It's like, oh, never mind. We play him 19 times a year. Everything will be fine. No. Go on. Someone on his team that's not afraid of making some comments should come over the top and be like, no, KB was right. Screw Yadier Molina.
Yeah, that's where you need like Lackey back. You need John Lester to take that step and just, hey,
Rizzo.
Yeah, I'm not impressed whatsoever with this. This is garbage. This town stinks, or this team stinks, and whatever else.
You need that edge.
And yeah, Chris, you need a little bit of crazy.
Well, because also like the
the Cubs right now, that
I know it's just a silly comment at Cubs convention, but when Theo talked about urgency, didn't it, it felt to me like what he was doing was he was saying, we lost the edge. We didn't have the edge. And I think most directly he was calling out Joe Maddon because it's the manager's job to set the tone. And obviously they did not extend Joe Maddon. But part of it, if you've been reading the quotes from Lester and Hamels, it's those guys are supposed to be more vocal leaders. And John Lester's 35 years old. They're asking a lot of old dogs to change their act or learn a new trick, whatever that, you know, mm-hmm. lead a horse to water, you know me, leopard and stripes
right,
and
something
spots.
Like that. You and Grobber will have a great time with your sayings
wait.
Coming up on Wednesday night. Maybe wait. Schuster will call in and drop some off for you as well, and George Hoffman can stop by. And
metaphors, analogies. The point is,
can have a best of segment to go through all of those.
Joe Maddon, like, okay, you've done it one way your entire career, now we want you to do it a different way.
Yeah.
Lester, you've been the quiet lead by example guy. We need you to be a little bit more vocal. Part of what Theo was saying when he talked about urgency was we need a little bit of an edge. Now, it's a comment offhand at Cubs convention in a comedy show setting 70 days before the season starts or whatever. So I'm not at all claiming that it was calculated. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for someone on the Cubs to come out and trash talk a little bit. Just to put everyone – discomfort is a good thing. It's a leadership tactic to make just people a little on edge.
Yeah, a little bit on edge. Like Maddon, when he first got here, and embracing the target was year two's
correct.
Campaign. Embrace the target. Everyone's coming for you. You're the big dog. You're the big fish. Everyone's coming for you. Embrace that. Now it's all – going to play the underdog role because the Pecota standings say that the Pecota projections say that Cubs are only going to win 80 games. And it's like,
how corny is that, by the way? Come on, Joe.
Is it?
It's corny.
It's what I don't
it's
like.
It's corny.
Here's what I don't like about it.
You know, I'm a Cub. That's corny.
It is. Here's what I don't like about it. And it's not necessarily that it's corny and cheesy and whatever else. It is. You're right. But it's a team that is so data driven from the front office to Joe Maddon, who, I mean, you see him with his little card in the dugout, has every number and matchup and everything going over us, how whatever pinch hitter hits lefties and righties, and this is a prime opportunity to succeed, goes over every little nugget possible in terms of his pinch hitters and managing his team that way and managing a game that way. So you have a data system that comes out and has this projection, and he just wants to dismiss it. Like, it's not someone putting in their personal opinions or personal beliefs. Like, it's an actual equation that goes into all of this, and
in
he just wants to dismiss it.
In fairness, he probably would have dismissed it the other way, though. If a computer if a computer would have simulated that the Cubs were going to win 115 games, he'd be like, well, that means nothing. It's a game played with humans. We've got to go out there and play the game. Like, the Cubs use analytics and numbers, but they're not 100% beholden to them. And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, the Pecota projections computer simulation came out, had the Cubs at 82 wins, then downgraded them to 80, worst in the division. Everybody got asked about it. Joe Maddon said he had no interest in it whatsoever. And then today, literally, it's on their schedule of events for
it's their literal bulletin board material.
It's literally
it's like their schedule
on the bulletin
of events
board.
For the day. It's right there for everyone to see, right at the bottom of the page.
It's
Cubs picked to go 80-82, finish last in the division. Put that in quotes and put Pecota at the end of it.
Correct. So he 72 hours ago said he doesn't care at all about it. And then 3 days later, on the day that all of the players are at Cubs camp, except for Ben Zobrist, who reportedly has an excused absence, the first day that everyone's there, it's on the bulletin board.
So is this going to be the Cubs turning into the Patriots? Sure, there's a lot more winning to be done to get there, but everyone doubted us. No one expected us to be here. Is that what we'll hear if they get into October?
Well, I called it corny with the Patriots, so if it happens to the Cubs, I'll call them corny too. It's corny. It's corny. You can't say you don't care about it and then literally put it on your bulletin board.
Yeah, use it as your motivational tactic for the day or for the week or for all of camp of what it might turn into.
Or for whatever, however long. It's just and so that's why I...
Man, you corny!
Yeah, it is corny. It's just a corny behavior. And so for Chris Bryant, Okay, so he's not going to be the guy to set the edge, right? He stumbled into it accidentally. Yadier Molina then escalated it and overreacted. And then the media runs back to Chris Bryant. He should double down. Or someone else should double down on his behalf.
Yeah.
Someone say something at some point or do something. I mean, remember how much love Rizzo got for challenging the Reds dugout to a fight before everybody got good? It's meatball-y, but it's like, okay, just have a little bit of edge to you. And be like, no, what happened last year is the aberration. We're not going to get pushed around. And I don't care if, the respect of Yadier Molina. Just shut up. call them what they are. It's a boring town.
Couldn't agree more. Like, just go out there, be bold, be interesting, and, yes, you know, throw that part out there and tell your rival that's, I mean, he's been your longest running rival in the National League Central and all of that. Tell him what you really think of him. And they were the standard bearer. They haven't won a division, haven't been to the postseason since 2015 now. Remind him of that and tell him what you think of their city. I don't dislike that idea whatsoever.
Bottom of the hour on the Score was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. 1 hour from now, you hear our conversation with Bill Shatner. Captain Kirk, we recorded it earlier. It was something. It was fun.
It was a conversation with Bill Shatner is what it was.
That's
all factual. That's all fact. So can't dispute it.
That's coming up in an hour. And then something happened over the weekend to one of our guys that we got to talk about. I think it's pretty cool for longtime Score fans. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Beer, beers, beer, beer, beers, beers. One beer, beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
Beers,
beer, beer, a beer center, beers with friends.
Yeah, blackout.
I used to like beer. I still like beer. I drank many beers. Sometimes I had too many beers. That audio brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Moms can take the worry out of cold and flu season with Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the most accurate thermometer available and the number one choice of pediatricians. With just a gentle scan across the forehead, you get an accurate reading every time. Protect your little ones with Exergen Temporal Scanner. So, Tanny, tell everyone what you did over the weekend.
I went grocery shopping, did a little laundry, got the dryer fixed.
Okay. Some Bed Bath & Beyond in Home Depot, if there was time to squeeze it in.
I didn't think there would be enough time, but there was.
Okay.
Well,
Shane, tell everybody what you guys did.
I did some grocery shopping, some laundry.
I just said that, Shane. So a couple weeks ago, I got a Twitter DM from my guy Andrew over at Solemn Oath Brewery over in Naperville. And he said they were doing a barrel-aged 83 beer release. And last summer, I think it was, Solemn Oath did a beer just called 83. All right, they're fans of the station over there at Solemn Oath. And I got an email saying they're going to do a barrel-aged release. And what that means, if you're not a beer nut, that means they take the beer, they age it in whiskey barrels or bourbon barrels. Over X amount of time. I don't know, since last summer, I didn't get a chance to find out how long it's been aged for. So they decided to roll out this barrel-aged 83
beer.
They
literally rolled out the barrel?
Yes, they did. Yeah, it wasn't Jim Hendry's barrel. 83. Let's just play that, get that out of the way, because it's going to be said a lot, and I can't talk and play the button at the same time. But so over the weekend, they did an official launch for this barrel-aged 83 beer. They did one, which was bourbon barrel-aged, one which was apple brandy barrel aged, and the third, which Danny has, is a grape brandy barrel aged 83 beer. So it was very cool. Got a lot of love for those guys over there. And it was just a good time. They did a big release party for it, which I did not get a chance to attend the big party, the shindig, where it was like members only could get in from like 12 to 3 and sample it. Someone tweeted me a photo drinking the beer before I had a chance to drink the beer. I thought that was very cool. But eventually Saturday evening, we got a chance to go up there, Shane, Rick Camp, and myself, to enjoy it firsthand. And oh boy, was it tasty.
So it was good?
It was very good, yes.
So now here's... far be it from me to not criticize, but observe. Why doesn't it say 83 Nation on here anywhere?
Well, you know.
It doesn't say 83 anywhere on the bottle. This is a really cool logo.
It seems like the marketing would take care of itself if you just throw a hashtag 83 Nation on the side of it.
I like you said that my beer was in Shane's refrigerator, and this was the only beer I saw in there, and it it looks awesome. It looks delicious. I cannot wait to try some. I truly want to support the product, but I feel like this is a missed marketing opportunity. Why not put 83 on the bottle somewhere?
I'm not sure that the logo on the bottle doesn't say 83. It's got the logo there. I think if I look at it a certain way, it looks like an 8 and a 3, the logo there. Hold it up for the good people. Are we even web streaming today? Are we even video streaming?
Oh, so you're saying this is like an artistic...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Like,
That's a stretch.
I got worried because when I went there and...
It looks like a snake to me from here.
It is a snake.
Like, it doesn't look like an 8 and a 3 at all.
Well, if you look at it...
Danny's so generous.
Again, you have to have a designer's eye. You have to be a creative to look at something like that. And
Danny's our Chris Bryant. Never going to get himself in trouble.
So when I go there, I'm the first to saddle up to the old bar on Saturday, and I'm looking at the tap list and what's available. I'm like, okay, where is it? I know it's a Baltic Porter. I know that. So for those of you wondering, it's a Baltic Porter.
Who doesn't know that?
Yeah, obviously. You know. And I look at the list, and I don't see the 83 anywhere up there. And I'm like, oh, God, this is embarrassing. I'm like, do I have the wrong week? So I just threw it out there. I asked the gal who was tending bar there. I said, give me the 83 bourbon barrel aged. Okay, coming right up. And she brings it. So I don't know if the 83 is just a nickname they had for it, but they showed me a photo of the actual barrels they used, and they all had 83 on them, and they're all fans of the score. So I think it might be, you know, a little industry insider term. You know what I mean? But if you go there and ask for it, that's what they'll give you. They know.
Okay, but Shane, you were there too.
I was.
Are you telling me this is an 83? The snake is...
I'd say it looks more like an 83 than other numbers.
There you go, see?
It looks what more are you guys talking
I don't see a 7.
About.
When you hold that up, I don't see a 7 or a 2.
Right, I see
you're right. I see more of what could be drunkenly perceived as a 3.
All right, I agree. Maybe there could be a hashtag 83 Nation on there if they want to call it an 83 Nation beer. But I think the fact... that they are attaching one of their beers to the score, even just by making
unofficially,
word of mouth.
Unofficially,
even just by word of mouth, is a very cool thing.
Agreed.
And I don't want to knock them for
it. It's essentially naming a beer after Tanny. Like, that's what
correct.
It is.
Well, some would argue you're naming it after Luke Stuckmeyer. I would not argue that.
I would not argue that.
I would neither. No.
I would not argue that.
No one in their right mind would, but I'm sure some people would. You're
yeah,
right.
Mrs. Stuckmeyer might argue that.
Love you, Luke.
This is Tanny's legacy.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if he wants to go down like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the one thing he wants to hold on to.
Let's see.
Is his legacy.
Best sound man ever in the business, or the
father, husband, sound man, and the guy who had a nickname of a beer named after him, and if there was a very short run release.
This is the audio overlord.
That's are enough. You telling me that on your headstone, 83 Nation's not going to be on there?
Yes, well, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
That's what you're telling me?
Hopefully I have to make the headstone sooner than later. But.
Oh, come on. After
this segment.
Come on.
So do you want to, we have no boss here today. I mean, Shane, but, you know, we have no boss
here.
Yeah,
Shane's management.
So can we?
And for the record, let me just say, I tried to sample all of the bottles, but as I was up there ordering mine to go, because we spent a couple hours there just enjoying it fresh off the tap there. They were selling out as I was ordering my to-go orders. So they were taking them off the board, yes, every time I would order something. So it sold out pretty quickly. I don't know if you could still get it there. I'm not sure if they're open today with the holiday hours, but definitely check them out.
Easily 75% of the people there, and there might have been 40 or 50 people in the tap room when we were there, 75% of them were drinking the 83 Nation beer.
And okay, so and there were three different kinds
Big
of it.
Hit.
I got the one bottle. I'm thinking, should we break it open in the 5 o'clock hour?
Do we have to wait?
Can we drink on the air?
I mean, there's no bosses here.
I think you can test the alcohol in the 5 p.m. hour.
Okay. Should I open it now, Shep? What's he gonna
do?
There's no one else here.
Yeah, Shane's gonna send us home and just
Oh, it is 8.6%.
Yeah, 6 is a multiple of 3. So, you know, there's that.
All right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's 8.6.
It's got a kick.
It does have a kick. Yeah, I'll give it that.
All right. Well, we'll drink some of this in the 5 o'clock hour.
It snuck up on us for sure.
Yeah,
so.
I had two of them, and I was feeling it.
We had to go.
Very much.
We had to go soak it up with some Italian beefs afterwards.
I was going
to
say, how did you get home afterwards then?
Yeah, we had some Portillo's to soak it up and then just sit there for a while.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so
it's a nice little Saturday.
It really was, yeah. So shout out to Andrew and Adam over at Solemn Oath and everyone else over there who are big score fans. So
all right.
They said they'd love to give us a tour one of these days, so maybe we can have a show outing there.
Let's take show the show. Out.
Show field trip. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Is there aged cheddar? Is it in Wisconsin? Do you think Mac will come?
Oh, boy.
What would you say?
What would be the next score thing that would get a beer named after it? Like, was it drop-wise, something-wise?
Grobber's Three Technique Ale.
The Three Technique.
The Bone-Chilling Cold Ale.
Mob Winter special, malt yeah. liquor.
Mob.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best we got. No.
It's
got
to be something mob. Yeah, yeah, no, it's all right. There.
This is good.
Revolution introduces, it's a sex comedy.
It's possible. It's possible. And then, Shep, you had a big weekend as well.
Yesterday, yeah, I was invited back to North Central College, where I graduated from in 2008. They asked me to speak at the preseason, the leadoff banquet for the baseball team for this year. Had me speak there, speak of my experiences at school, and kind of say how I've gotten to here and what the role was that North Central played in that for me. And it was fun to go back. And it was, you ever have the professor or the teacher in college that in the moment you couldn't stand their class, like you hated it, but years later you look back and you're like, God, I really appreciate that class.
Sure.
I had no idea that Nora Berkland, professor at North Central, she was taught me in intercultural communication. And I used to get into it with her all the time, debating everything, any topic that was brought up, argue against it, have my points against it. I had no idea, but she was at North Central, each sports team has a faculty member that's like a mentor of sorts of, okay, you have academic issues, you have questions, you need help with a cover letter. Here's your kind of liaison you can go to and they'll help you out. They'll get you steered in the right direction, set you up with the right person. She was that for the baseball team, so she's there yesterday. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, I despised your class, but it was the most memorable damn class that I had. So it was cool to get to see her as well. But Ed Matthews and Joe Heller, big thank you to both of them for the invitation, the coaches there at North Central.
I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of this speech.
That's good. How long was the speech?
About 15, 17 minutes, somewhere in there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It well was.
I rehearsed it for my wife a good, I don't know, 8 times or so beforehand. So,
whoa!
Yeah, took it seriously.
So you wrote it all out and
wrote it out on note cards and worked through it. Okay, I like this. I don't so much like this, and was able to work through it. And I think it went well.
That is solid. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Very. Shout out to North Central, giving me the free gear as well.
Yeah, I was going to say
Cardinals baseball.
You guys, I did nothing productive this weekend.
No. No. I'm sure you did something. You watched the slam dunk contest in your underwear or something.
I mean, okay, I did something fun. I didn't do anything productive. Like you guys getting a beer named after you and making a speech at your alma mater. So good stuff from Tanny and Shep. We'll drink this beer named after us in the 5 o'clock hour of the show. All-Star Weekend's coming to Chicago. We're going to make it the perfect weekend because I'm sure the Bulls are open to taking all of the suggestions from this show as possible. It's McNeil and Parker's on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.